Back now with Day to Day.
Hey, June.
1968 was quite a year. Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy were assassinated, Apollo 8 orbited the moon, and this song came out. All year long, NPR has been looking back in a series called Echoes of 68.
Okay,
we get it. 1968 was a really important year, but for those of us who weren't around then or barely remember it, it's been a little bit hard not to feel left out this year during all these 40th anniversary celebrations. So today, on the last day of 2008, we decided to look back 20 years instead to 1988. To help us remember the year that was, I spoke with Russell Scott and Patrick Young, creators of the social networking site Retroland. Patrick says, musically speaking, 1988 was defined by the heavy metal band Guns N' Roses.
Rock stars started to dress up like superheroes. They were wearing spandex and lipstick and big hair. And it was going to last for a while until Nirvana came around in 1991 and ended the party.
Besides Guns N' Roses, what else was going on in 1988 that it's worthy of remembering now? What do you think, Russell?
A very significant debut occurred on MTV called Yo MTV Raps. And what that did was really put in the living room for the first time rap music, which really made a permanent change in popular music.
One writer noted that January 1988 was the year that Prozac first hit the market, and about that same time, 1988, was also the year that this song,
Don't Worry, Be Happy,
Don't Worry, Be Happy, came out. What was going on in American culture that that song kind of became the song of the year?
There's always been a place in popular culture for what is essentially the novelty song. And I think that that really was just the right song at the right moment. I don't know. I would throw it to Russell. Do you have any ideas?
Just based on what historically was happening at that time, that was, I believe, the savings and loan and an echo of what's going on now. There was a bailout, and the bailout then was the outrageous sum of $2 billion, which now we laugh at. Probably the beginnings of what was to become a recession.
The landlord say your rent is late. He may have to litigate.
On your website, people can post their memories of what was going on in any given year. And I was looking through 1988, and I had a total blast from the past. Someone posted about Count Duckula, the cartoon duck, which it just was one of those things I'd completely forgotten about. What are some other TV shows that came out in 1988 that we can look back fondly on?
If I just throw out one title that really defines an era of children's entertainment, A Pup Named Scooby-Doo.
Like it's about time for our in-between snack. Snack, Scoob!
Yeah, let's start.
In the 1980s, there was this movement in the Saturday morning animated field where they would take properties and reduce them to babies. So we had Muppet Babies. We had Pink Panther and Sons.
The superheroes, didn't they have their own babies?
Yes, and this was one of, and there was also Tiny Toons with the baby Bugs Bunny, that next generation. But in terms of what was significant, the Wonder Years debuted, and that was in 1988, a show that was looking at 1968, so that's very appropriate for us to be discussing right now.
But in a way, those really were the wonder years for us there in the suburbs. It was kind of a golden age for kids.
You guys collect all sorts of stuff from all sorts of years, and you've brought in for us today a couple of items from 1988. Russell, what do you have here?
Well, I brought in the California Raisins album, Meet the Raisins, because they were a pop culture phenomenon in 1988, so much so that they brought the I Heard It Through the Grapevine song back into the top 40. And we brought in a Willow action figure, which was from the Lucasfilm presentation.
From the creator of Star Wars and the director of Cocoon, Willow.
So it's a very small action figure.
It is. I think that's maybe all of an inch and a half.
Yes.
Even with all this good stuff that you guys have brought in, there might be some folks out there who say, you know what, 1988, still not that much of a significant year. Can you give us some closing arguments here? Why is 1988 an important part of American history?
Well, 1988 first saw compact discs outselling vinyl records, which was a pretty big deal. And I think it's so interesting now as we see iTunes become the number one music retailer and compact discs and physical media like that sort of going the way of the dodo bird. I think it's very telling. And between 1988 and 2008, you've seen an incredible paradigm shift in how we consume media.
A different way to look at it is what we gained and what we lost. And we gained Haley Joel Osment and Vanessa Hudgens.
Two child stars for
yes.
folks. Haley Joel Osment was the kid from...
The Sixth Sense.
The Sixth Sense.
Yes.
And Vanessa Hudgens of...
High School Musical.
Yes.
What I was going to say was 1988 was possibly, if not the last time, it was winding up the era of a shared experience where there were only so many channels, there were only so many popular culture icons. For example, in 1988, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle toy line came out and dominated. So every boy a certain age has an affinity for that. And what we're seeing now is the sense of shared culture is fragmenting. All of the things that we're talking about, as silly as they sound, were shared by an entire pop culture consuming generation.
Russell Scott and Patrick Young of Retroland.com, thanks for coming in and chatting about 1988.
Thank you very much.
It was a lot of fun.
If you want to share your 1988 memories, go to our blog. It's npr.org/daydreaming.
You know, I remember rolling my eyes at that song back in 1988. Now I'm kind of hoping it's prophetic. 2008, well, it didn't end up so great, but hey, 2009, fine? Let's hope. Happy New Year, everyone. Day to Day is a production of NPR News with contributions from Slate.com. I'm Madeline Brand.
I'm Alex Cohen.